This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge in for Frank Stasio. Governor Pat McCrory filed new forms with the State Ethics Commission that show previously undisclosed travel expenses. The governor now says outside groups paid for 7 of his trips in 2013, totaling more than $13,000. The money comes from appearances at national governors' conferences, including 4 backed by the Republican Party. The governor says it's appropriate for those groups to pay for his travel. Critics say failure to show the expenses on the original form follows a pattern of nondisclosure at the governor's office. Andy Curlis has been following the story. He's the state government editor at the News and Observer. Andy, welcome back to the program.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon.
Fine, thanks for being here.
Sure.
So what information is on this form now that was not on it when the governor originally filed it?
Well, so the governor disclosed trips that took place throughout 2013. And previously, there were no trips listed on that portion of his ethics form. And they say it was a misinterpretation of the question that was asked. And so they've updated the form. It shows trips in February, May, August, September, and November of 2013.
And we're talking about a form, a statement of economic interest form. Will you explain what this is?
Sure. Public officials in North Carolina are required to file this form. And it is really an exercise in helping the public official determine if they have a potential for a conflict of interest. And so the public official has to list where they get their income, what type of stocks they may hold, places where people have paid for them to go travel, in this instance, what we're talking about today. And so all of this is in an effort to help the public official identify areas where their private interests and their public interest may intersect, and so then they can take action either to not use their public of position for any type of private gain. That's the main idea behind these forms.
And the form asks for the person involved to disclose the date of travel, where they went, and where the payment was coming from.
That's right, and it's the question is sort of a three-part question in this particular instance. They want to know about travel where the people providing the payment are from outside of North Carolina. So that is one of the wrinkles in this. And the phrasing in this particular area is they call it a scholarship or a grant in aid to attend a conference or a meeting or a similar event by people from outside of North Carolina.
So I'm actually looking at a copy of this form right here, and it's rather clear. It's in bold. It says a scholarship is a grant in aid to attend a conference, meeting, or similar event, and then it asks you to check the box yes or no. Have you received any of that? It would be hard to imagine that this could be too difficult to understand.
Well, the governor's lawyer said that they have consistently interpreted the word scholarship to not include travel expenses. And so that was their obviously a misinterpretation of what that question was trying to capture. And they say that we've talked with the Ethics Commission and we understand that these expenditures should be reported. And so they did. And I should say that we do expect there to be additional travel that is reported under this requirement. I do not think that this is the last of the trips to be disclosed.
And that is fair. It says a scholarship is a grant in aid to attend a conference, but it does not say travel. So I guess you could interpret it that way. How many times has the governor amended his statement of economic interest?
Well, so for the report that covers the calendar year of 2013, which is where we are in the cycle, the 2014 calendar year will be filed in about a month. So for the calendar year 2013, this is now the third time that he has filed an amendment to his original form. So there are now a total of 4 filings from the governor dealing with his ethics statements for that calendar year.
What are some of those other times where he's had to make an amendment?
Well, the other 2 amendments were dealing with sources of ownership in stocks. So it was dealing mostly with sources of income, holdings related to Duke Energy and a subsidiary of Duke Energy. So he was dealing with that in previous efforts to disclose information.
Is this common that a governor is making amendments after the fact to these statements?
I don't know how widely, for instance, in other states, it is not common to have a public official make four amendments to this form. I do think it's fair to say that. But in every instance, the governor is saying, look, I relied on my legal staff, and the legal staff has said that, well, we've misinterpreted how a particular question was asked or should have been answered. That's been the explanation for the ones that have generated news coverage.
So that's what the governor's office is saying. What are critics saying about these amendments to the forms?
Well, what the critics are saying, and the main critic is an advocacy group called Progress NC Action, and they are raising concern that there is a pattern of what they say are misleading disclosures. And so really they're wondering, well, what else is the governor hiding? And they are asking for a fuller investigation of this by the State Ethics Commission to really try to understand the complete picture on the governor's interests outside of his public position.
We should say that the trips that the governor did disclose on this latest form are things that were widely reported in the press, many of them. The New York Times was reporting and such. So these weren't hidden trips, per se.
No, not at all. It was no secret that Governor McCrory was at these events. And so, yes, it should be seen in, I would think, a different light than, say, you know, some special interest had flown the governor somewhere and we're only now just learning about it. I think there would be a different view of this situation. But these were all trips that everybody knew the governor was, for example, at the National Governors Association in Washington, D.C., or, you know, went to New Orleans on an RGA, Republican Governors Association event. So these were all well known. What wasn't clear, though, was who had paid the bill. And so what we now know is that the bill was paid by these other organizations, whether it was a fee to attend, in some cases the complete travel or a hotel, things like that. And so that is what is new this week.
I'm speaking with Andy Curlis today on the state of things. So as we've mentioned, critics have filed an ethics complaint. What can the State Ethics Commission do if they find a violation?
Well, there's several options available to them. They, one of them being they can reach some kind of settlement with the public official. They can also recommend up to and including criminal charges. So it's a wide range of powers that the Ethics Commission has. And so in something like this, you don't know how things may turn out.
And will the process be public?
Well, there's a separate complaint already pending against the governor from the earlier disclosures. And so what you are seeing now are two tracks of complaints, two separate complaints. The first one is farther along. It is not open. The governor does have the ability to make it an open process. But by law, an ethics commission investigation is a confidential investigation, much like a grand jury or, you know, your local police officials. Their investigations have confidential provisions, and this is no different.
And just finally, how often does an ethics commission inquiry actually lead to a criminal investigation or prosecution?
I'm not entirely aware of any that have actually led to a criminal type situation, and most of the time with political figures, in North Carolina over the past decade. That's been more the State Board of Elections, the Wake County District Attorney, the U.S. Attorney, the federal prosecutors. That's where inquiries and investigations have led to more problems for public officials. The State Ethics Commission, it has not been a source of that type of outcome.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us about it.
Sure thing. Have a great day.
Andy Curlis is the state government editor for the News and Observer. Just ahead, how one man is preserving his dairy farm and their traditional Southern barn dance. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.